Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 1, know this, young people, know this. You need to know this because this is the time that you're growing up in. Now, honestly, there have been better times in the past. There's also been worse times in the past. But you're growing up in a tough time. That's not to be negative, that's to equip you. If you are equipped in the Word of God, then you'll be able to deal with things as they come, and what's happening around you won't make a difference. But if you're not equipped in the Word of God, then what's happening around you can really give you some serious problems. So stay equipped in the Word of God, and you'll be able to overcome absolutely everything. Nothing will give you a problem. Now here it says, and Paul tells us, know this. It's something when the Word of God says, know this. There's not very many places, I think this may be the only one, when God says to us, know this. Then in the last days, and those are the days that we are living in now, the last days are times when the age is closing, and we are at the close of the church age. It's not closed yet, but it's very soon. In the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. You see this all the time. Men are lovers of themselves. This is where problems come from. This is why the times are perilous. Then it gives a whole list of things that illustrate how men are lovers of themselves. You can read it if you want. I'm not going to get into that. That's not the point. But I do want you to understand, in this particular time, people are lovers of themselves. That's not a great thing at all. And then in verse 5, it gives this interesting contrast that even though they're lovers of themselves and they do all these things that are completely wicked, they have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. From such people, stay away. Now, their form of godliness is based on external evaluations, external considerations. Don't ever get into this place where you are evaluating or thinking on the basis of externals. Men are lovers of themselves, but they get self-righteous. And it's a form of godliness, but it has no power. It can't transform their lives. It can't transform other people's lives. It can't bring anybody to Christ. It can't win a soul. It can't do anything at all except deceive the person who's living in it. He said, stay away from people like this. Now, in Romans 16:17, this is one that's going to challenge a few Christians. Well, we're supposed to love everybody, aren't we? Loving people and fellowshipping with them is not the same thing. In Romans 16:17, the Word of God says, mark them who walk contrary to the doctrine that you have learned, and those people who cause divisions, and avoid those people. Here it says that if people are lovers of themselves and they do the things that demonstrate that they are lovers of themselves, even though they have a form of godliness, but that form of godliness has no substance, turn away from such people. Why? Because they're in the wrong kingdom operationally. They may even be saved, but they're functioning in the wrong kingdom. They're in the wrong way. In Genesis 2:9, these people operate at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, there it says, out of the dust of the ground, God made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the eyes and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is not about good and evil. despite what the name sounds like. And a lot of people think, well, yeah, it's a tree that has two sides, good side and an evil side. That's not correct. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is about a certain type of knowledge. And people who operate in that knowledge think incorrectly that they can designate what is good and what is evil, that they can make a distinction between it on the basis of the type of knowledge that they're using. Now, the knowledge they're using, the word is de'eth in the original language. It's not God's knowledge. It's circumstantial knowledge. How things look, how things sound. It's what you call empirical knowledge. Empirical knowledge is evidence based on what you can observe. So they take what they can observe and they call it their evidence. And based on that evidence, thinking apart from God, but only how that evidence makes them feel, and that's how it's usually carried out. If this makes me feel good, it's good. If it makes me feel bad, it's bad. Based on this kind of thinking, they then determine what is good, what is a blessing, what is bad, what is a cursing. And they don't even know how to think. Because apart from thinking with God, there is no thinking. You might have electrical impulses, which is the physical process that we call thought, floating through your brain. But it's not actually thought, because it's not based in truth. It's imagination, but it's not thought. Now, in verse 16 of Genesis 2, the Lord God commanded man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Now, that "you shall surely die," that's not really well interpreted. It really should say, "dying you shall die." So in the day that you eat of it, dying, you shall die. Now the reason why it says that is because when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and I'm not going to get into the details of this, but I'm going to give it to you generally, their DNA was changed. And now within their DNA, there was a capacity and a process of dying. And so he said, "Dying, you shall die. You will enter into the process of dying. And ultimately, because you fellowshipped with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die." And they did. And we do because of it. That's how people started to die. It was not intended to be that way. Fortunately, your soul cannot die. But even your body was originally designed to live forever. You're going to get your body back. And it will be glorified and it won't be able to die. Because the DNA damage that was done at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that will be undone. Now, the point of this is in this. At the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you cannot find what is right. That is to say, by natural thinking, where you base things on external evidence, thinking apart from the mind of God, you cannot find what is right. You want to find what is right. But what is right can only be found with the mind of Christ. Why? Because His word is truth in John 17:17. So if you want to know what is right, you have to think with the word of God. Young people, never underestimate this. You have to think with the word of God. Because otherwise you cannot find the truth. You may think you have it on the basis of what you see. But that's very deceptive. So much so that scientists have shown us that every person sees the same thing a little bit differently. What might appear to be yellow in my eyes might appear red, what I'd call red, in yours. That's how unreliable this is. What sounds like one thing to me may sound like something completely different to you, and it's the exact same thing. It's so totally unreliable. Because what you see is not actually what you get. In other words, there may be something out there, but your brain interprets, and that's the picture that you see. It's not entirely reliable because there's a lot that goes into it. You cannot find truth apart from the Word of God because you have no way to process it. If you're trying to go to what you can see or what you can hear, what things seem like, you can't do it because even though it seems quite real, it might not be as real as you thought. It seems very reliable, and then you realize that either things have changed or you didn't have all the information, and it's actually very different. Never go to the place of using your natural thinking apart from the mind of God. You can't find the truth that way. Even in science, I'm not talking just about spirituality, I'm talking about other things too. There is a scientist, a physicist, named Dr. Russell Humphreys. He's a Christian. And he worked at one of the most prestigious laboratories in the country. And he was researching, along with other scientists that worked with him, planets within the solar system. And he made a prediction about the planet Uranus based on what the Bible said, how God created the earth and the universe and when. His fellow scientists who did not believe the Bible believed what evolution and the Big Bang had to say about things. Well, the structure of a planet can be determined or affected at least by its age. And Russell Humphreys said, this planet is young, therefore it's going to have this kind of an internal structure. And they said, no, that planet is very old, it's going to have a different internal structure. When they sent a probe out there, they found that Russell Humphreys was absolutely correct. And all those other guys got it wrong. He's the only one who got it right because he based it on what God said. Even though the evidence to you might appear to be one way, if it's not from the Word of God, it's not right. You want to find the right way. Now, in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is the way of death. This is what Eve found. She ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They did it because they stopped believing God when he told them, don't eat of this, you're going to die. They stopped believing it, and they stopped believing it because the tree looked good. And that was the criteria God gave. In verse 9, you can eat of any tree that is pleasant to the eyes and good for food. Eve saw this tree was pleasant to the eyes and good for food, except for one thing. God specifically said about that particular tree, that tree you cannot eat from. Because that one, regardless of what it looks like, is going to kill you. What's interesting to me is things like poison ivy or poison oak, poison sumac. They have the prettiest flowers. You ever see them blossom? They're very pretty. You could actually even be tempted to clip them and put them in a vase. They're very pretty. Don't do it. You'll regret it. But they're very pretty. The fact that they look good doesn't mean anything. The fact that that tree looked good doesn't mean anything. The fact that when I think with the natural mind, it might seem good, it doesn't mean anything. Because apart from Christ, I can do absolutely nothing in John 15:5, including think. And so I don't go to the way that things appear. That's not going to show me the right way. I have to go with the way God defines it. And if I go with the way God defines it, I cannot be wrong. If I go against the way God defines it, I cannot be right. Even if it seems good. It was pleasant to the eyes and she ate, but there was one problem. It was only based on what she could perceive, not based on what God said. And when she went to what she could only perceive and not what God said, it killed her. It's like that with us. You want some tough times in your life. That's going to be really difficult to achieve. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, you're going to find people who are going to ridicule you from time to time because you go and do things God's way. Don't worry about them. People who are wrong will often ridicule you for being right. That is not uncommon. There in that passage in 1 Corinthians 1:25, it says, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, according to their appearance, what they seem like, not many mighty, not many noble are called." God's not interested in them. Why? Because they're depending on things outside of Him, things that are empty and meaningless and can never sustain anything. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. In other words, the things the world calls foolish meanings. Oh, you believe God? You can't even see Him. What kind of a fool are you? Seeing is believing, right? You can't even see God. Oh man, are you nuts? I can't see the wind either, but I breathe every day. But you see, that's the thing. They may call you a fool, but God has chosen those things that they call foolish. He's chosen them to put to shame the wise. Oh, you've got all your knowledge, your education, and your ability. Doesn't make any difference. The Word of God is truth. You may consider a person who lives in faith to be simple-minded, God says to them, I consider him to be wise. Now God in 1 John 3:20 knows all things. If He says this person who has faith is wise, this other person who thinks they know something is a fool, who are you going to go with? God knows all things. I cannot be wise in my own ability. I cannot be wise by implementing or appropriating or whatever the things that are around me, the way that things appear, the way they sound. I can't be wise. I can only be wise by implementing the mind of God, because the mind of God is the mind of truth, of reality, of the way things actually are, not just the way things appear to be. Appearances are very deceiving. In Judges, Gideon, he mustered up thousands at first, but God said, no, this isn't going to work. That's all natural. You want people who are not thinking natural. You want people who are actually thinking according to reality, according to what's going on. And God whittled them down to 300. So you would think, well, Gideon was this big successful guy. He had this massive 150,000 man army. No, Gideon had 300. And they went up against the Assyrians, and the Assyrians had over 100,000 soldiers with 300 men. Do you think he's going to win? Well, if you look at things that the way they appear, you would say, no, probably he's not going to win. How do you take 300 and defeat well over 100,000. Well, that's all he needed. You see, with God, it doesn't matter what the appearances are. You do it God's way, you can't lose. And so God took that 300 and he gave Gideon a strategy. And he says, give each one of your men a trumpet and a lantern. Why did he do that? Because captains had those things. And he gave them a trumpet and a lantern, and those 300 men all of a sudden looked like 300,000 men. And it was dark in the middle of the night, and they lit their lanterns and they blew their trumpets. And the Assyrians were terrified because they thought Israel was fielding a huge army against them. It was only 300. But if every one of those captains, what they thought were captains, had 1,000 men, then it was 300,000. So the Assyrians thought there's 300,000, three times their own size, and they ran away from these 300. And these 300 men defeated this huge army. Why? They did it God's way. They didn't go by what things looked like. They didn't say to themselves, we can't because we're only 300 and there's so many more of them. They didn't say to themselves, how are we possibly going to do this? They didn't have to do it. God does it for them. See, when you do it God's way, when you do it the right way, God does it for you. So you can't fail. Those people who think they're all that and a bag of chips, they're wise in their own eyes, they're actually fools because they're trying to do it apart from God. And that can't succeed. In 1 Corinthians 8:2, if anyone thinks they know anything, they know nothing. That's the mind-boggling thing. Anyone who thinks they know anything, these people who say, oh, I'm so wise, I went to whatever Ivy League school, I'm so wise. No, you know nothing. People who are truly educated, truly learned, will tell you, I don't know much. Albert Einstein, who was absolutely brilliant, went to get help with math. He knew he couldn't do something. And so he didn't try to rely on his own ability. He didn't try to get egotistical. He said, I can't do the math. See, he didn't think he knew everything. But man, was he brilliant. It's like that every time. Anyone who thinks they're all that in a bag of chips, forget it. Now, this part I want you to listen to, and this is where we're going to close. In Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't walk in the opinions and the viewpoints of the ungodly. Then you're blessed. Nor stands in the path of sinners. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, those who mock God. But his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his word he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree planted by the rivers of water is the healthiest type of tree because it always has a source. It doesn't matter what's going on around it. If it's by the rivers of water, it always has a source. You can be completely dry. It cannot rain at all, but if it's next to a river, it always has a source. That brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, the opposite is true in those people who walk in the counsel of the ungodly. But if your delight and your focus is the Word of God, Nothing can stop you. Nothing can hinder you. Nothing can prevent you from anything. You can do absolutely everything, and you can be sustained and overcome absolutely everything. Because you always have a source. And it doesn't matter what things look like. What things look like means nothing. You always have a source. So don't think to yourself, well, this is how things are. You want the right way. That's not the right way. The right way is delight yourself in the Word of God. And then nothing can stop you. And you'll be blessed in whatever you do. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.